KY says.
Sat Kewal Sahib, and welcome back to our Satsang podcast with Faible Youth. We are so excited to continue our Upasana translation journey with you all. Before we start, we would like to make shout-outs to our amazing Faible Youth team. From scripting to recording to producing, everyone is doing a great job. Your dedication and seva are truly inspirational. So, without further ado, let's get started.
Sat Kewal Sahib, Kewal Youth, welcome back to our 10th and final episode of our Guru Mahima translations. Radhika and I are so happy to have been able to experience this journey with all of you. Translating this Guru Mahima has been an indescribable experience.
Yes, it has, Bobby. And you know, you have been such an amazing partner for this seva. I have truly enjoyed translating each and every episode, from our Upasana series to our Guru Mahima series. I'm excited to see what our team does next.
Yes, our options seem limitless. This Gnan allows us to explore so many different topics and ask such deep questions. I'm looking forward to what all our KY Satsangis have to say about this. But for now, let us move forward with why we are here today. Kewal Youth, as Radhika said, we are here to translate the last set of verses of our Guru Mahima. And we have two very special guests to help us do just that.
Yes, we do. Who better to help us bring this train home than our Kewal Youth co-directors, Kewal Amin and Krunal Patel? Our growing leaders and Param Guru's Pracharaks are here with us today to help us bring our series to a beautiful conclusion.
They have been on a few episodes now, and you all know them so well. But I think one more brief introduction would be nice. Both Krunal and Kewal have been involved in our Kewal Gnan Mandir in Chicago since they were such little munchkins. They continued to give such inspiring seva as they grew older and have become great leaders within Mandir and our Kewal Youth Organization.
Yes, they have. And they have been doing all this seva as they soar in their professional lives. Krunal has been working as a biomedical engineer for the past few years at this biomedical corporation here in Chicago. And Kewal has been working as an architect for a firm in North Carolina, but he has recently moved back to Chicago where he works here in the city at this architectural firm. We are so proud of both of you. Welcome to this episode.
Thank you, Radhika and Bobby, for that introduction. And thank you for having us back on this series for this episode. I've truly enjoyed my time on these episodes. I've been able to connect to Param Guru's Gnan and help us bridge this understanding of our Upasana.
I agree with what Krunal said. Being able to understand Param Guru's Gnan and give that to others is an opportunity I am grateful to have. Thank you for having us here on our last Guru Mahima episode. Let's do this, Kewal Youth.
Yes, let's do it. So in the last episode, we left off with the verse, Jeno Madhasudana Nama Kahave, Chadyo Madha Ekuna Guru Rahave. Now this verse was wrapping up a series of verses in which we learned about what happens to individuals who go into Param Guru Sharan, what they get, what they're able to let go of, and what can happen if they surrender their egos and prides. If we go into Param Guru Sharan and truly allow ourselves to become immersed in his Gnan and Bhakti, our egos and pride will leave our minds and behaviors.
But that is only if we implement this Gnan and Bhakti, like Bobby said. If we simply go into his Sharan but continue to commit karms like lying, cheating, gossiping, and hurting others, we will not reap the true benefits of being in Param Guru Sharan.
We must continue to check our behaviors in our everyday lives, because that is what it means to be a true bhakt of Param Guru.
Exactly. To stay in Param Guru Sharan requires more effort but the fruits of it are more than worth it. As Sri Narayan Ji Maharaj explains earlier in Guru Mahima, the happiness and wealth experienced in Param Guru Sharan are incomparable. Our first set of verses here helps us to understand what it means to be in such a divine presence and what we must do to achieve it. So, singers, shall we get started? Verse 130, please.
Guru Samrath Srimat Kubera Narayan Dasalayo Enavera.
Guru Samrath Srimat Kubera Narayan Dasalayo Enavera. Guru means teacher, guru. Samrath means all powerful, all capable. Srimat Kuvir is referring to Param Guru. Layo means experiences. A means that. Navera means decides. But in this verse, it means comes to know.
In the last set of verses from the previous, we learned about how Param Guru's presence is so powerful and divine. It has the ability to energize and change the people's minds and behaviors. Simply going into His Charan is an experience alone. It changes us for the better if we allow it. In this verse, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj continues that line of explanations by telling us his own experience. He's literally saying, I have come to know Param Guru's all-powerful capabilities. I have felt it and witnessed His glory.
It is like he is continuing his witness statement. I remember in the previous episodes of Upasana translations, we discussed what the meaning of Sakhi is. After several prarthanas, we see a Sakhi, which is like a witness statement. The composer is saying, I affirm that all of the above are true through my own experiences. In the same way, in this Guru Mahima, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj has continued to guide us with his experiences of Param Guru's glory.
And we must remember, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj had a world of experience prior to going to Param Guru Sharan. He studied under various gurus and learned about 12 different dharams, but he was left unsatisfied with the answers he received from those individuals and their teachings.
Right, and then he came to Param Guru's Sharan, where he experienced something different. Within minutes of meeting Param Guru and hearing his Gnan Vachan, he knew this knowledge was different. It was what he had been searching for.
And as he continued to spend more and more time in Param Guru's Sharan, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj was constantly reminded of how vast and deep Param Guru's knowledge is. He says, if you are the ocean, I am a mere morning dew on a blade of grass.
Let's take a pause to understand that, because like in this verse, we have referred to Param Guru as Samrath over and over. What does it mean to be Samrath? Well, let's examine the analogy Radhika just gave us.
When I think of the ocean, I think of a powerful body of water capable of withstanding the wildest storms, the hottest heat, and the coldest temperature, all while being able to regulate itself and provide shelter to an unquantifiable number of species. Think about how many different types of life can be found in the ocean, at all levels. Despite what the external environments are, they're living deep in the ocean.
To add to that, it requires a special ability to live in the ocean. Mammals are unable to because we need oxygen to breathe. Aquatic life is able to live in the ocean because they can, quote-unquote, breathe underwater. Meanwhile, the morning dew is so fleeting. It is a drop of water on a blade of grass in the early hours of the morning. But as the sun's rays become more prominent and the atmosphere becomes hotter, that dew evaporates. It is very superficial compared to the ocean.
So such is Param Guru's Sharan. It is deep and capable of withstanding the elements, all while providing shelter to so many. But just like the aquatic life need to be able to breathe under the water, as you said, Kaival, Param Guru's bhaktos must be doing Param Guru's smaran and behave like his bhaktos to stay in his sharan. Okay, singers, let's keep moving. There is a lot more where this has started from.
Joyo nairani kari ajug mahi guru bina sat padharath nahi.
Joyo narne kari ajug mahi guru bina sat padharath nahi. Joyo means seen. Narne kari means final decision. A means this. Juga means world. Mahi means from. Guru is referring to Paramguru. Bina means without. Sat means true. Padarat means materials, wealth, possessions. Nahi means nothing.
To further emphasize his point, Sri Narayanadasji Maharaj says, he has seen the truth in this world, and he has seen how there is no other source of true happiness, aside from the sharan of Param Guru. Here we can go back to our analogy. The dew is superficial. It exists for a couple hours. Such is the happiness of the material world.
Exactly. We've stated this time and time again. But our attachments are sources of false happiness. Anything that is true would remain true. For example, our red blood cells carry hemoglobin. That is a true statement. It is true and can be proven. However, the happiness we feel for a person or our material wealth dissipates with time. We lose interest, get bored, get mad or sad, or any number of other emotions. Then how can it be true happiness if it is always changing to other emotions?
It can't be. At this point, one might ask or argue how we can't prove the happiness experienced in Param Guru's sharan. And you would be right. We cannot prove it through a physical examination of any type. This is an experience that must be felt, and it is built on trust and faith.
Sometimes it can be hard to have trust and faith in something we don't know anything about.
Well, that is why we have these prarthanas and scriptures written by bhaktas like Sri Narayanadasji Maharaj. They are giving us their experiences to help us see the light. It is like this, I love chocolate cake, but you have never had it before and are skeptical. I explain it to you using vivid adjectives and imagery. Would you try it then?
Yes, I would. Because I would see how much you liked it, so I would want to try it then.
Exactly. So just in that way, we have witness accounts from so many bhaktos who have all expressed their bhav and faith in Paramguru based on their experiences. Now we must give it a chance and really put our faith in him. If we do, we too will see that the real truth does reside at his sharan. Okay, singers, next verse, please.
Eu satya jane mane sukha mato game na tene vishayananda nato.
Eu satya jane mane sukha mato game na tene vishayananda nato. Eu means such. Satya means truth. Jani means to know. Mani means to experience. Sukh means happiness. Matu means filled with. Gamena means do not like. Tene means he or she. Vishay Anand means attachments. And Natu means relationships.
To further our explanation, once we do experience the truth and its associated bliss of Param Guru's sharan, we become uninterested in the fleeting happinesses associated with attachments, because we know it is temporary.
Once we experience Param Guru's sukh, everything else starts to seem trivial in a sense. For example, let's say you buy a ring and it is like plated gold or something. but it's not real gold. Over time, it will fade and lose its luster because it's not real. It may even turn green or black and cause some sort of allergic reactions. Now, let's say your mom goes to India and gets you a pure, real gold ring. That ring will have a completely different look and will have longevity. Once we have this gold ring, we will forget about that other ring and just wear this one.
In that same way, once we really allow ourselves to experience Param Guru's Sharan, previous sources of happiness will lose their value compared to this.
I like that example. It was good. But I think we should really take a minute to understand what Radhi just said. If we allow ourselves. Sometimes, we are in Param Guru's Sharan, but we don't allow ourselves to experience it to the fullest extent.
That is true, Kaivo. If we do Param Guru's Bhakti and Seva without consistency, or we continue to commit negative actions, then we will not be able to experience the true happiness we discussed. You know, so often people complain like, oh, I do bhakti, but I still don't have this, or I still have this pain or that issue. This is a point where we would ask you to self-reflect on a few points.
Yep. Like, how consistent are you with your seva and bhakti? Why are you unhappy? What are the sources of your pain? What type of life do you lead? What type of karma do you commit? When things go in the opposite direction from what we want, we are quick to blame our faith. But I would ask first, reflect on our own choices and behaviors. What are our actions? Do they align?
That is fair, because above all else, we should learn to hold ourselves accountable first. We must go through hard work if we want to experience the fruits of Param Guru's Bhakti and Seva. Okay, singers, let's have our next verse, please.
साचो संबंध गुरु शुद्ध जोड़े करे जग आड़्य तेनु मन मोड़े
साचो संबंध गुरु शुद्ध जोड़े करे जग आड़्य तेनु मन मोड़े साचो means true. संबंध is relationship. गुरु is referring to परम गुरु. शुद्ध means pure. Jode means with. Kare means does. Jaga means world. Arya means obstacles. Tenu means his or her. Mana means mind. Mode means turns.
So, this verse is getting into how and why Param Guru's Sharan is the only source of true happiness. Here, we're saying that once we are in Param Guru's Sharan, he gives us the Gnan to make the purest connection there is, the one between an Ansh and Anshi.
Sometimes we get so caught up in our mortality, we forget our root existence and what it means in the bigger picture. However, Param Guru is constantly helping us reinforce this understanding. I am an Ansh of Karta, and that connection between me as an Ansh and Karta, the Anshi, is pure and forever. Param Guru has given us this, and if we keep reminding ourselves of this truth through regular Dhyan and Amar Mantra, we can start experiencing something we call Sattvik Anand.
By helping ourselves understand our existence as being greater than this physical body, we're taking one step in a direction away from the attachments associated with this physical body. My car, my house, my money, my relationships, they're all connected to Krunal. However, my existence as an Ansh of Karta is bigger than Krunal. It is eternal.
In order to stay connected with this, we must, like Kaival said earlier, do Amar Mantra Mara every day. This mantra is the strongest mantra there is. It allows us to make a mind-spirit connection that literally transcends physical boundaries and helps us get a glimpse of the Anand we are learning about here.
But it takes time. just like anything else we do, in order to build and reap benefits, we must be willing to put time and effort. This will require us to be patient and persistent. Singers, let's keep moving. Next verse, please.
Evo shura vira dage ke madeki shrimata kubera sharandiyo peki.
Evo shura vira dage ke madeki shrimata kubera sharana liyo peki. Evo means such. Shura vira means a strong and brave personality. Dage means shaken. Kem means why. Deki means on seeing. Sharana means shelter. Leo means to take. And Peki means to know.
Once an Ansh is in Param Guru's Sharan, they become strong, fearless, and fierce. Their faith and Shraddha in Param Guru become steadfast and stable. They are not shaken by the world and its temporary possessions.
This reminds me of that bhajan. How did it go? Oh yes. Karuna sagar nu ajnan sinha garjana saman. Meaning, Param Guru's jnan is like a lion's roar, and Param Guru's bhaktos are like lion cubs. They fear no one because they know their mama lion is going to protect them. They roam freely.
They roam freely only if they are close to their mama lion. If they wander too far, then even lion cubs can get in trouble.
Good point. But see, there we see it again. The relationship between us and Param Guru Sharan. As his bhakts, we are like those carefree lion cubs, but only as long as we are in his Sharan. If we wander away, we start getting caught up in this world and its constant expectations, wants, desires, and emotions.
And then we will get shaken. So stay close, friends. Do not wander off. It will get real complicated real quick.
I think you two are getting ahead of our translations here. Look at that. Okay, so let's go to the next verse because it is exactly what you two just explained.
Dare ke ma keshari baad karad bhage jhutha kunjar mahavikarad.
Dare ke ma keshari baad karad bhage jhutha kunjar mahavikarad. Dare means scare. Kem means why. Keshari baad means a lion's cub. Karada means a roar. Bhage means break. Jutha means crowd. Kunjara means elephant. Maha means great. And Vikarada means big and fierce.
Why should a lion's cub be scared when one roar from a lion has the ability to scare away herds of other animals, some as large as elephants?
So once again, in that same way, as Param Guru's bhaktas, we are lion's cubs. We should be fearless and remain as detached as possible as we remain close to Param Guru. This is a source of our own fierceness.
Just from the small amount of seva I have done, I can personally attest to this. I am my most confident when I am spending my time in my Param Guru's bhakti and seva. There have been times when I have lost my connection for a little bit or become less than regular. In those times, I have felt moments of weaknesses because I wandered away.
I agree with that. I do feel the strongest when I am closest to my Param Guru. Okay, singers. Shall we go on to the next verse, or I think Kravel and Krunal might get ahead of you once again?
Poke par tap guru jehi vitta rahe nagaro jagamani ravitta.
Poke par tap guru jehi vitta rahe nagaro jagamani ravitta. Poke means to take care of. Sinchan karvu. Paratapa means influence. Guru is our swami, our teacher, again referring to Param Guru. Jehi means with. Vitta means understanding or knowledge. Rahe means stays. Nagharo means without guru. Guru vinano. Jaga ma means on earth. Niravitta means without understanding or knowledge.
Here, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj is using a nourishing analogy. A guru nourishes his disciple so that they may gain understanding and knowledge. This allows them to flourish. A guru plants seeds of jnana in a disciple who is worthy of that jnana. However, a person without a guru does not get such nourishment and then remains without the proper jnana.
This reminds me of planting. I love planting different flowers in my garden. Still trying to figure out where I will do it this year, but anyways. During the spring, I always plant seeds and flowers, and I want them to flourish and grow. I'll make sure to water them daily, plant them in an area with adequate sunlight, and make sure the soil is nutrient rich. I'll even get Miracle-Gro or some other nutrient supplement for plants if I think they need it.
Right. So in the same way, a guru gives us the jnana, which is our sunlight, bhakti, which serves as our nutrients, feelings of tyag and seva, which are like our water. See, jnana removes the darkness of ignorance through its light. Seva and tyag keeps us hydrated by making us humble and mentally flexible. We learn to serve without expecting, and we understand our attachments are temporary. And bhakti keeps us connected by constantly serving as nourishing reminders for our minds. As we do our upasana and other prarthanas, we are reminding ourselves of our position in Param Guru's charan. That feeds our thoughts with positivity and so much else on a daily basis.
Exactly. In that same manner, Param Guru's jnana and bhakti are our nourishment. We need them to thrive. All right, singers, next verse, please.
Dhari shane gaura kanya ji kuvani shobha sukh nahi binu bhar thari.
Dhare shane gaura kanya ji kuvari shobha sukh nahi binu bhar thari. Dhare means to adorn. Shanagara means ornaments. Kanya je kuvari means an unmarried girl. Shobha means adorn. Sukha nahi means no happiness. Binu means without. And bharathari means husband.
This verse is kind of hard to relate for me, but is referring to the act of adornment and how women get dressed up for their husbands. So in this verse, we are saying how if an unmarried woman gets dressed up and wears jewelry, she won't really feel the complete happiness from it because she doesn't have anyone to appreciate it, like a husband. I feel like a lot of women and girls now would disagree with this statement and be like, well, we do it for ourselves.
I am going to step in here because, yes, Gaival, you are right. Times have changed significantly from the 200-some years ago when this was composed. Back in the day, a woman did shangar for her husband. She dressed up for him and wore jewelry, and in turn, he appreciated her efforts and beauty, all that stuff. This is a practice that's actually found across all cultures. But here, we are just using it as an analogy. We can disagree with the premise of it, though, which we do.
Right. So in this verse, we're connecting back to the previous verse. A person without a guru remains nugro, meaning guruless, and thus is deprived of true happiness. Their efforts in all other directions are meritless because in the end, they have remained ignorant to sattvic jnana. in the verse after about the unmarried woman, Sri Narayan Ji Maharaj is using this analogy, comparing a husband to a guru. So, just like the beauty of a woman who adorns herself remains unappreciated without a husband, the knowledge of a disciple without a guru remains undisciplined and unguided.
Of course, we all agree that the analogy is applicable to a different time, but we can all appreciate what it is trying to teach us here. Throughout this entire Guru Mahima, we have learned time and time again why it is important to have a true guru like Param Guru who can guide us in the right direction. Param Guru elevates our knowledge as he gives it direction. Both are important. We need Param Guru in our lives to experience this blissful truth. Okay, singers, next verse, please.
Kiya ude ansh patiti hi jano mile te hi laksh guru parmano.
Kiya ude ansh pati te hi jano mile te hi laksh guru parmano. Parmano is one word. Kiya means to do. Ude means to create. Ansh is souls, all the atmas. Pati is referring to Kaivalkarta. Tehi jano means to know or to understand. Mile tehi means to get. Laksha means goal. Guru is our swami or teacher, always referring to Paramguru. Paramano means evidence. In this context, it means to be known.
We must know and understand the one and true creator and controller of this universe, who is Kaivalkarta, who has created all the anshas. The only guru who can help us connect to such a karta is Param Guru. If we get to know Param Guru, we will know karta.
Param Guru is the main connection to karta, and he is the only one who can introduce us to the truest goal of meeting our creator once again. In this verse, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj is literally saying, get to know Karta, who has created all the anshas through Param Guru, who is a true master of knowledge, the ultimate educator. He will give you this goal with evidence.
And the next verse is connected to this one. Singers, can we get verse 139, please?
Guru dikrta ma nahi fir fari shrimat kuvir ki jo balihari.
Guru dikrta ma nahi fir fari shrimat kuvir ki jo balihari. Guru is referring to Param Guru. Te means and. Karta is Kaivalkarta. Ma means between. Fair fari means difference. Shrimat kuver ki means Param Guru's. Jo balihari means submit myself.
When we are doing upasana and trying to work towards this ultimate truth, there is no difference between Karta and Param Guru. If we give ourselves wholeheartedly to Param Guru, we will have given ourselves to Karta. This concept can be difficult for many to understand as we continue to reinforce how Param Guru is our guru and Karta is the creator.
We should remember our bhav here. Here we can use an example of a coffee maker. You know, those ones where you put the filter at the top, fill the reservoir with water, and then add the coffee to the filter. Just like every one of us is an ansh of Karta, Param Guru is an ansh of Karta, but he's the Param Vishesh Ansh, meaning the most important as he is the biggest part of Karta. Param Guru is like that basket or the coffee pot. The water will move through the reservoir, filter through the coffee grinds in the basket, and go straight into the pot. While we are all one part of Karta, Param Guru's specific role is to take all our bhakti and devotion, help us filter it, and deliver it straight to Karta, like the basket delivers the coffee to the coffee pot.
Ultimately, our devotion helps us and only us. It helps us live filtered and pure lives as we learn to take out the negative habits like gossip, lying, stealing, cheating, and it helps us make the purest connection, which is a connection between Onsh and Onshi.
Param Guru has one goal, to guide us in reaching self-actualization so we may reconnect with Kaivalkarta. His motives are purely altruistic, as he wants us to attain our eternal bliss and free us from these repetitive cycles.
And Param Guru has been given all the powers, abilities, privileges, and rights by Karta for this purpose. No other entity in the entire universe compares to Param Guru, and no other entity could compare. This is why here Sri Nandaji Maharaj says that by praying to Param Guru, we are praying to Karta directly.
And so, much of the bhakti we do is composed by Param Guru for Karta directly. But for so many of us, we first need to connect to something that is tangible, something we can see and feel.
Right, and Param Guru does that for us. He is a physical representation of Karta for us. Kaival, you remember that dream analogy?
Yes, so when we are sleeping, we are stationary, but we can go anywhere in our dreams. That person in our dreams is a representation of us. In that way, Karta is stationary, but Param Guru is able to go anywhere and everywhere as his representation. This is why we can pray to Param Guru to get to Karta. Alright singers, we are at our last verse. Let's do it.
नारन दास चरण चित लागो इच्छा पद रज भक्ति पद मागो.
Our last verse of Guru Mahima. Alright, let's do it. नारन दास चरण चित लागो इच्छा पद रज भक्ति पद मागो. नारन दास. Pujya Sri Narandashi Maharaj is referring to himself in the third person. Charan means feet, Param Guru's holy feet. Chitta means mind. Lagu means to fixate. Icha means wishes. Pada Raj, the dirt off of Param Guru's charan, Param Guru's feet. Bhakti means devotion. Pada means position. Magu means to ask for. Before we translate this, I just want to point out a common theme that we see. In so many prathanas and buds and stutis, actually every one, that Pujya Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj has composed, he is always asking for Param Guru's charan raj. Ke Param Guru, I want to become the adhikari of your charan raj. And our Pujya Guruji has emphasized this through many of his satsangs as well. See, Pujya Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj knew that simply by taking the dirt that Param Guru's feet had touched, simply by taking that dirt upon his head, he would experience all the sukh and glory of Param Guru's blessings. Because whatever Param Guru touched, whatever Param Guru was a part of became divine, simply because Param Guru's energy and aura were so great, so glorious, so indescribable. So he doesn't need anything else. He just wants that. And think about that for a minute. To only want dirt that has touched Param Guru's feet? But it's so much more than that. It's not only dirt. It's the dirt that is on Param Guru's feet, that touched Param Guru's feet. And it is this bhav that symbolizes Pujya Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj's bhakti and his complete devotion. He had become completely and totally samarpit to Param Guru. And that's why he knew that of everything and anything that you could possibly ask for, this position has the greatest importance. This position has more meaning and value than everything else combined.
With this final verse, Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj bows to Param Guru once more with the utmost humility. He says he's bowing into Param Guru's charan with his full mind, with his thoughts completely focused upon Param Guru. His only wish is that he may take Param Guru's Charan Raj, the dust of Param Guru's Charan, upon his head with an eternal position at Param Guru's Charan.
Furthermore, Sri Narandasi Maharaj is asking for Bhakti Pad, meaning a position of devotion. He wants to remain a Bhakt first and foremost, no matter what else he does. I think this is super important. When we remember how and why Param Guru chose Sri Narandasi Maharaj as his successor on the Gadi, we are reminded how Sri Narandasi Maharaj always identified as a Bhakt of Param Guru.
That is a great point, Kaivo. Even though Sri Narandasi Maharaj became Gadipati after Param Guru went back to Kartas Dham, he always identified himself as a Bhakt of Param Guru first. No matter what role we play in this life, if we first identify ourselves as a Bhakt of Param Guru, we will always make better choices.
I completely agree. As we learned earlier in this Guru Mahima, being Param Guru's Bhakt makes us kinder, more compassionate, honest, humble, smarter, empathetic, and so much else. If we lead each role with this identity, we can accomplish so much in this life as we find happiness in our Param Guru's Sharan and be able to transcend the physical boundaries of this world in our afterlife.
So, to Sri Narandasi Maharaj's point, let us all humbly bow down into Param Guru's Sharan and ask for his bhakti and seva above all else. This is our road to our internal satisfaction and sattvic anand.
Wow, I can't believe we finished translating this Guru Mahima. With each episode, we learned new pieces of the puzzle. So much gnan, so much bhav, so much to implement. I can't even wrap my head around it.
Radhi and I feel the same way. When we first started with Mangala Aarti, I am unsure if we ever even imagined being here, completely done translating our morning and evening upasana. It has been such a blessed experience. I am so grateful to have been given this opportunity. Thank you to every single person who helped make this project such a success.
I echo what you all have said, 100%. Translating our upasana has given us all a peek into the gnan of our granths, and I'm looking forward to continuing on this gnan journey with all of you. I am so grateful for this satsang community that we have built and the opportunities that we have to do this type of seva. Thank you, Kaival Youth, and all of our guests for your seva and your trust in us.
Before we let you all go, KY, we would like to remind you all about a very special event that can help all of us redefine ourselves as Param Guru's Bhakts and help us find a place in Param Guru's Sharan. During the summer of 2022, we're going to be celebrating one of our biggest North America events to this date, the Triveni Sangam.
Triveni Sangam is when three milestones meet at the same time. For our Gnan Sampradaya, these three milestones are the 250th Param Guru Pragatya year, 50th year of our Guruji being on the Gadi, and the 15th Patosav for Kaival Gnan Mandir.
The celebration for these three events will be taking place on July 22nd through the 24th, 2022, at Kaival Gnan Mandir in Chicago, Illinois. Be sure to save the dates.
Adding on to all this fun, we are so excited to announce that in conjunction with the program, we'll be hosting Skies 2022 in Chicago starting July 21st onward. All youth and young adults are welcome to join. We are very hyped for all of us to finally see each other once again in person.
Be on the lookout for more information at kaival.org and our social media platforms. Sat Kaival Sahib.
Before we end this episode, we would like to give a huge thanks to our singers, Amar, Joy, Neha, and Asta. Also the Satsang Committee and all the guests that have been on our episodes. Your dedication and seva is truly inspirational. Sat Kaival Sahib.
This work is copyrighted in 2021 by Global Youth, which is a national subsidiary of Global Gyan Chicago Foundation. Reproduction in any manner is prohibited without the express consent of Global Youth. For more information, visit www.gaibul.org or email satsang@gaibul.org. All rights reserved. Satsang Sahib.